You're listening to Consider This, episode 87, for September 15th, 2014.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are. Thanks for peeking your head in the door and listening to this podcast. We've got a seat for you right up front, so come on in. I'm Doug Payton, the main speaker, and this is Consider This, a podcast with my conservative commentary and your feedback. The kicker is, we'll be done in 10 minutes or less, so you'll have barely enough time to warm your seat. If you want to participate, just raise your hand and use it to call 267-CALL-CT0 to call our feedback line. Or stop by our handy-dandy website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, for emailing me or commenting on the show notes. That's CT as in corgi training. The president's call for our military to go back to Iraq. That's coming up. I want to thank Shay Harms for giving this podcast a shout-out on her aptly named show, Podcast Shoutout. There's a link in the show notes to her write-up, and she's in iTunes as well. If you want to find some more podcasts to listen to, her show gives us podcast producers a chance to pitch our shows to you. And if you like short podcasts like this one, you'll love hers. They're even shorter than this one. So, give it a listen, and you might just find something else that fits your interests. When President Obama spoke to the nation on September 10th, he did not use some of the phrases he has in the past. He didn't refer to ISIS as the JV team, nor did he refer to Iraq as sovereign, stable, and self-reliant, with a representative government. And he didn't say, as he had before, that the tide of war is receding. Now, all those things would have sounded good, just like they did the first time he said them, but they would have been just as wrong. As so often happens when presidents paint a rosy picture for political purposes, reality has a way of rearing its head and biting you in the posterior. Reality, in this case, is ISIS, or ISIL, or whatever. Now, in defense of the president, one might say that the chief executive is not a prognosticator or a soothsayer. And one might have a point. They have aides that specialize in different areas who try to anticipate issues before they get out of hand. Perhaps President Obama should have hired this guy who made a prediction back in 2007.
I know some in Washington would like us to start leaving Iraq now. To begin withdrawing before our commanders tell us we are ready would be dangerous for Iraq, for the region, and for the United States. It would mean surrendering the future of Iraq to Al-Qaeda. It mean that we'd be risking mass killings on a horrific scale. It would mean we allow the terrorists to establish a safe haven in Iraq to replace the one they lost in Afghanistan. It would mean increasing the probability that American troops would have to return at some later date to confront an enemy that is even more dangerous.
You might recognize that voice as belonging to former President George W. Bush. Yep. Someone else wrote those specific words, but it's something that he believed. As it turned out, he was right on every point. Well, except that while Al-Qaeda is still something of a factor in the region, ISIS has become the new big bad, only badder. We don't need a soothsayer in the Oval Office. We need a truth-sayer, regardless of how it plays to his base or offends his sensibilities. So now we have a president calling for American military might to be used in the service of getting rid of an extremist element in Iraq. If this sounds familiar, well, it is. No boots on the ground, he says. So I guess that means the hundreds of advisors and trainers are wearing more comfortable footwear. But it's odd when you consider what this president has said in the past about ending wars.
The war in Iraq is over. The war in Iraq is over. From ending the war in Iraq. That's why I ended the war in Iraq. For the first time in 9 years, there are no Americans fighting in Iraq.
President, do you have any second thoughts about pulling all ground troops out of Iraq?
You know, what I just find interesting is the degree to which this issue keeps on coming up, as if this was my decision.
That last bit was a question from a reporter in 2014 asking about pulling all the troops out. Interesting how, when it turns out his decision falls on its face, that he no longer wants to take credit for it. I cut out a lot of the audio where he had repeated and repeated and repeated that claim. If you want to share it, there's a link in the show notes. All our troops left Iraq. That's what he promised, and that's what he did, which, for something as large as the Iraq War, is a big deal. The question is, was it a good promise to make? His speech suggests that no, it wasn't. Even the president that the left mercilessly mocked as stupid could figure that one out. So, here's another question. If we don't leave Iraq this time, when would we ever leave? Are we to remain there in perpetuity? That's a good question. To which I would ask a similar question. When do we leave South Korea? When do we leave Germany and Eastern Europe? If we really ought to be completely out of Iraq, I submit that before we do, we should be out of countries that we've been in for 40 or 50 or 60 years. Doesn't that seem reasonable? So now we have a president calling for American military might to be used in the service of getting rid of an extremist element in Iraq. If this sounds familiar, it is. Okay, I already said that, but there is one thing a bit different this time, the lack of any serious anti-war effort. Howie Carr, writing for the Boston Herald, put it this way.
Where exactly is the anti-war movement? Have you seen a single No Blood for Oil sign in Cambridge? To paraphrase the John Kerry of 2004, can I get me a candlelight vigil here? Whatever happened to Cindy Sheehan? Where is Code Pink? I haven't seen an Endless War bumper sticker in years, since 2009 to be exact. The anti-war movement is MIA as this war, counter-terrorism operation, begins. Back when Bush was waging war, dissent was the highest form of patriotism. Now it's racism. If you speak truth to power in the Obama era, they call it hate speech. The IRS will audit you.
As I've noted time and time again, for the left, it is not about principle, it's all about politics. The anti-war movement is only there to be of service to the Democratic Party. Yes, some are true to their principles regardless of the party in power, but as we see, on the whole, the outrage is extremely selective. That's politics. So what do you think? Can you explain how this is completely different than before? Putting a coalition of the willing, if you will, together to combat a terrorist group? Do you think that we'll get out of this without boots in the ground? And is calling it a counter-terrorism operation, rather than a war, enough to keep the anti-war crowd at home? Is it really just words? Or a political party that gets up their dander? Call me at 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280 with your rants or raves. The email address is considerthis@ctpodcasting.com, and the website is considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. They sound similar, so it's easy to remember. The show notes have links to the websites I referred to, a transcript, and a place to sound off with other listeners. Let's hear what you have to say. Let's dialogue. Let's consider this.